Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up! Let's go! First place, Atlanta Falcons.
You heard the man.
Dude,
you heard the man.
This is the morning shift. I am he, and he is Squidbilly. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Don't ask him what the P in the Michael P. Johnson stands for.
Stands for Penix.
It does not. That's
yes,
what
it
Penix
does.
Stands for.
Yes,
yours
it does.
Yours stands for something else. I mean,
it stands for place,
and
as in first place.
We have big Penix energy this AM because our Falcons are now, they took the losing streak, Michael, and they turned it into a two-game winning streak.
Yes.
And we need to turn it into a 4-5-6-7-8-game winning streak.
Yeah, well, now do we get to say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers peed down their leg? Is that what it is? Now we get to say they peed down their leg.
Yeah. Costly turnovers by Baker. I heard a lot of love. Look, dude. I'm a Baker Mayfield fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be. To be completely honest with you.
But all the people that wanted to get in on my Twitters and my DMs and tell me how great he is, and he is a good player, but they love him. Well, the other thing you have to live with him is the turnovers. And what we didn't have to live with yesterday from our quarterback, our rookie, Michael Penix Jr., was turnovers. Because the one turnover in the game that the Falcons committed is an asterisk, and we'll get to that later because it had nothing to do with him.
No, it didn't. And honestly, the biggest turnover yesterday in the Cowboys-Bucks game had nothing to do with Baker Mayfield.
Well,
Rashad White and Deron Bland came together for that
one. I don't know if I completely agree. Because I think sometimes that's one of those borderline plays where sometimes it's better to go down because it was a risky play by Baker as he's in the grasp of a defensive lineman.
That's probably fair. But he didn't fumble the ball.
He didn't, but maybe just hold on to it and live to fight another day completely.
Obviously, a lot of things to get into, man. Crazy, crazy weekend. We'll get into the college football playoff coming up at 6:40, but it's a Falcons victory Monday, and not only is it a victory Monday for the Falcons, we had all eyes peeled, and you almost went 2-for-2. We had all eyes peeled on the Washington Commanders-Philadelphia Eagles game yesterday, and then obviously last night, Cowboys taking on the Buccaneers in Sunday Night Football. They come up just short in that one, which means, like we've been saying, the Atlanta Falcons now at the top of the NFC South, where we feel like they belong, and they do it in grand fashion with a rookie starting quarterback.
That's why, real quick before we get to the game, that's why one of the things that I kept coming back to when we were in the bye, before the losing streak really hit two more games, was you've done a lot of good work in the first half of the season. That doesn't just go away, okay? If you can handle business, that won't go away. You need to beat the There's even a chance you go 1-1 over the next two and still are fine, okay? But the reality is you need to go 2-0. That's what that way there's nothing comes into question. Not to mention you have a 10-7 record. It's the first winning season you would have since that's what you would have if you went 2-0. It would be the first winning season since 2017. You've won 8 games for the first time since 2017.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Which was when you won 10 last time.
Yeah, you did. And just to update you guys on kind of where the playoff picture is, before we start to get to the Falcons game, the Lions are locked in. The Eagles right there at the 2 right now. The Vikings are locked into a playoff berth, but they're at the 5 seed. So that could be a team that if you're able to win the South would be on the road, possibly coming down here. The Rams, the Falcons, Packers, and Commanders all still kind of right there in the hunt and should be. If the, you know, if the playoffs started today, they'd be in. Falcons' current playoff probability sitting at 55%. And then you go to on the bubble right now in the NFC. That is the Buccaneers, whose probability sits at 51%, and the Seahawks, who sit at 14%, which are the currently in ninth place in the NFC. So, you know, not to split hairs, and here's the message moving forward. Just win, baby. Just go out and win. Go out and win your game this weekend. You got flexed into Sunday Night Football against the Commanders. You know, we'll get into that game later, but I think we should start, Bo, and we got, you know, a few minutes left in this segment. What were your thoughts on Michael Penix yesterday? What did you see different? What did you think of the poise, the debut, everything that kind of comes with Michael Penix making his first start?
Well, the difference was, if you didn't see the difference, you're numb because it slapped. The difference was slapped in your face in the first play of the game. Zach Robinson walked out,
dude.
And he backhand slapped part of the fan base who talks about him as a play caller and his offense, because he goes, "You want a bootleg? I'll give you a bootleg." And I know you probably couldn't stand up in the press box.
I couldn't.
Because they run a boot on the first play, and honestly, it was a drop by Ray-Ray, and even Ray-Ray will tell you that. And I think the one thing I'll say real quick is that there were a few drops early on, and I think some of that, I don't think it had anything to do with spin. I think it was velocity.
I think it was too.
I think the ball was getting on the guys quicker than they thought.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about Kirk's velocity. You know, coming out of his hand, he had that game a couple weeks ago, under 33 miles an hour the whole game. I'm with you. You ran the boot on the first play. Now, I said to you and Arch on Friday, I told you, I said, if there's not a boot in the first three plays, Bo might have to hold me back from the coach's booth. And sure enough, there was one on the very first play of the game. Michael Penix throws a dart. Ray-Ray probably drops it. It was decent coverage coming in, you know, on his back. But side note, I found it very interesting that Ray-Ray was the one that ran the one-man comeback route on the bootleg. I thought, okay, well, that's kind of cool. But nonetheless, man, just a different look. And I was excited right off the hook when you run that bootleg.
I mean, when you talk about your receivers, Ray-Ray and Darnell are neck and neck for the second leading receiver on the – well, them and those two guys, along with Bijan Robinson, are neck and neck for who's second on the team in receptions. But here's the thing. I looked at him, and there was a calm in the pocket, and overall calm about him. But I felt like he had a calming effect just back in the pocket when during a play. Never really felt like he panicked. Kirk Cousins is always kind of a fidgety, nervous kind of guy in the pocket.
He's anxious. He's got some anxiousness.
And I think a lot of that is because he's got an internal clock knowing that he can't move.
Right.
He knows that he has only so long to get that ball out, and then it becomes a hot potato situation, you know?
Yeah.
I never saw that from Michael. I thought and you and I were talking about this. I thought we saw route concepts and the route tree, what the receivers were running yesterday was something we haven't seen maybe since first few weeks in the season.
Yeah, no, there was depth to the routes. There were levels to the routes. There was actually a couple times that I thought maybe there was miscommunication. I think on one of the crossing routes on a big third down, I thought, you know, you had it looked like Ray-Ray and Darnell were kind of in the same spot. But you had levels to it, man. You're hitting crossing routes. You're hitting we'll talk about Chris Blair coming up in a minute, probably later on in the show. But guys were out there competing, and I love what Michael Penix was doing. He was in command. I thought that the moment didn't look too big for him. You look at him in the huddle. You look at him, you know, calling for the motions from the side. You look at him going through his cadence. Even got a couple guys to jump off sides, which, as a small note, is huge for a rookie quarterback to be able to get into their cadence. I know it's a home game, but you get into your cadence, and if you're able to get guys to jump off sides, that shows me a level of comfortability that you don't see a lot of times out of rookies in those situations.
I know one of the things I was seeing people talk about was, well, it still didn't throw the ball deep. I disagree. That throw to Blair was, what, like 19, 20 yards? That's considered a deep, what, over route?
Yeah.
And but the pass interference, and I
was going to say, I can't remember who the target was on the pass
Darnell.
Interference. Okay, there you
and,
go.
And it was – and Arch broke this down, so if you don't think I know what the hell I'm talking about, I'm about to regurgitate what Dave Archer says, so you know it's true. He was just raving about the throw, because the throw was to the inside and the DB was on the outside, and so basically the reason there was pass interference, it was and if you go back and look at it, it was dropped in a bucket. The only reason it wasn't caught was because they could have pressed charges on the corner of what he did to Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, he got assaulted.
But that is to me, it won't show up on the stat sheet, but when you throw a ball to that well and you draw a penalty of a 40-yard variety, that is the quarterback making explosive plays.
Yeah.
That's the offense. That's an explosive for the offense. It doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but in the NFL game, it's exactly what it is.
It's a beautiful thing, man.